Hello, and welcome to Living Vertical Radio, where we change the narrative of media by introducing you to creative and innovative individuals that inspire you with their unique stories. Our host is Cystine Duckworth, and you can call in or Skype into this program by calling 1-646-668-2928 #1. Please make sure your surrounding area is quiet because this is a live program. One Sure Sign Mobile Notary of Frisco, Texas provides professional notary service across the Dallas metro area. Our notary professionals are ready to help you with loan closings, power of attorney, fingerprinting, and other notary services. We meet you at your location of choice, your home, office, hospital, or local coffee shop, convenient to your schedule. Reliable, professional, and affordable. One Sure Sign is happy to support Living Vertical Radio here in Texas. Mention you heard this ad on Living Vertical for $5 off any notary service. Interested in advertising on our podcast with a listening audience of over 800,000? You can do a 15-second business ad, a 30-second radio ad, or a 10-minute interview radio ad. Our prices start out at $50. Contact us at info@verticalmediagroup.com. Our pricing is made to give everyone the ability to advertising no matter the budget. Thank you. And here's your host, Cystine Duckworth.
Good morning, everyone. And I can say that it's good morning because I'm here in sunny Phoenix, Arizona, and it's going to be a beautiful day. So this is a Taste of Ink live radio, and I'm your host, Cystine Duckworth. This radio is about authors sharing their stories, their books, and their process to the world. And so today's guest is Debbie A. Montegia. So I hope I'm pronouncing this right. We'll find out when I bring Debbie on the line. And I just like to start out with one of the excerpts from the book. Her book is called Tears of Change, and we're going to be talking about that book. It's a wonderful book with inspirational collections of poems, quotes, and reflections. And so I took a little bit of excerpt out of one of the poems because it really spoke to me, and I'm going to talk about it right now. So this poem we're going to talk more about later on in the program. So this is the excerpt. The tears of pain, a sliver of gold, the transfer of life forms a new mold. And I really love this because it worked. It talks about quite a few things in my life and where I volunteer. So it really resonated with me. So in this book, you will find unique, one-of-a-kind poems. Some will touch your heart and bring you to a place of appreciation and peace, and others may change the way you view and look at things. You will find ones that will move you through joy, loss, acceptance, and renewal, as well as pain and sorrow, all part of life. And her hope is that one or many will be inspired to just leap into new places in their life and love and gratitude within themselves. So I'd like to introduce you to author Debbie A. Montegia, and we're going to talk about her book, The Tears of Change. Welcome, Debbie. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm great. So Debbie, for the audience, me and Debbie are both in Arizona, right?
Correct. I was just going to say, you hit the introduction right with sunny, bright Arizona, because it is a beautiful day today.
Right. It really is. You know what? We've had some really great days lately, and I'm just even the day that where it hit 100 degrees was not as bad as, you know, you would think it is. I think this is probably the best part of the summer's beginning.
I agree. And I know people, you say 100 degrees and people in other states panic. Well, we don't have the humidity, right? It's dry. It's the desert.
Oh.
So 100 doesn't feel as hot as 100, Yeah, with
that's
humidity.
True. That's very, very true. That oh my goodness, that when I was in Virginia one year, I was like, oh my God, I feel like I'm walking underwater. So most definitely.
I'm from Chicago, so originally from Chicago. And,
oh my goodness. Oh God, yeah. you definitely know.
Yes.
So, Debbie, let's talk about Tears of Change, and we're going to talk a little bit about your life and a little bit about your writing process. And I think one of my first questions to you is, how did your writing journey begin?
Well, it began several years ago when I was going through a really debilitating case of anxiety. And as that anxiety was, I was starting to journal and really go deep inside to figure out where this anxiety was coming from, you know, and how to handle it and move forward out of it. And as I was journaling, my journaling obviously was sad. That's why it's called Tears of Change, because I was very sad at that time. And anxiety is like a form of depression. So as I was journaling mm-hmm. and jotting things, when I started to get a little bit more creative and started writing poems in rhyme, if that makes sense, I just started,
yes.
you know, drafting and jotting things down. And I said, I could work with this. I could make this into something a little bit more lyrical. So that's kind of
right.
where it all started. My gift came out of my anxiety, and you wouldn't think it would, but it does. And that's kind of my message for people. You know, you have to move into a little bit more fearful areas of life, and when you get to the other side, you can discover some interesting things about yourself. So that's how that was birthed. And then over the years, I didn't write a lot raising the kids. I have two grown children now, and I was a stay-at-home mom. I work part-time, but I wrote off and on, you know, inspired by the kids a lot and other areas, and that's how it started.
You know, I was reading through your on your website, and I wanted to ask you a question on one of the comments you made, and you said, you know, when you were going through all the anxiety And as most of us do, we're trying to find the answers to help us maneuver through it. And you said that you didn't feel that the doctor was your answer. What made you feel that?
Well, I had tried, you know, anxiety, it affects you so bad. I know so many of us have felt it. And for some people, it's more intense. Others, it's not. Mine was so debilitating, like I said in the beginning. But I went to the doctor, and he prescribed me anti-anxiety medication, and mm-hmm. I took the anti-anxiety medication, and it intensified, it exasperated my anxiety to
right.
peak, and I went, oh my goodness, I can't take this. So yeah. then I tried to have a drink, beer or a cocktail or something, you know, that kind of settles you down a little bit. Well, that did the same thing. So I was forced to do nothing but go into myself and say, how am I going to get rid of this? I really felt I was being punished. I was down on my knees in prayer. I just thought, what is this? And how do I move through this? So I did go mm-hmm. into therapy and worked through it. A big, like I said earlier, a big process was journaling for me. Journaling was extremely powerful in mm-hmm. digging my heart and my suppressed emotions, which was causing a lot of the pain.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And it's funny you say journaling, because journaling is my thing. And so you probably have a library in just journals.
I do. Some of it I have, when we moved, I kind of tossed some of it because I said, what am I going to do with all this stuff? And sometimes
right.
I do like morning pages, right, 3 pages, and I do toss it. It's just, you know, clearing the cobwebs out of your brain. I still just, you know, it's kind of how I look at it. Because journaling, and, you know, I talk to people sometimes about it, and they go, oh, 3 pages of journaling, I can't write. You don't need to know how to write to journal. That's not the point.
Right.
You're not journaling to an author. You're journaling to
right.
empty out the cobwebs, the stuff you deal with every day, the nonsense.
Yes.
And you'd be surprised,
right.
which you can tap in, right? I bet you experience that when you journal, right?
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to tell you, sometimes when I kind of flip through my journal, I it's funny
uh-huh.
because I flipped through a couple of them and I was kind of like, so who was that person? Because it's like, I'm so, you know, it's like after you finish a journal, it's kind of like, you know, whatever about that person or that time or that space that you, you know, you feel you're over with, it's in the journal. And whatever part of it that you're going to carry forward, you know, you can look in the journal and say, oh, yeah, you know, I like, but there was so, as a writer, it just gets to be hilarious sometimes because I'll look back and I'm like, so were you drunk when you wrote this or who is this person? I'm like, I can't believe that came out of you.
So,
go ahead.
Yeah, I experience it. Sometimes I go back and I go, who wrote that? I write that?
Yeah.
And I had a friend.
I have a friend who sometimes she bounces stuff off of me, like, you know, she's been like a mentor to me. And it was funny. She sent me something one time and she said, remember when you said that? And I looked at it and I was like, no, I don't. Who was that person? And she just starts laughing, you know. So it's always also, and I'm sure with this book, because one of the poems that you wrote in there about friendship, it's always amazing because a lot of times, and all my friends, we're all far apart, just except for the one here. And like sometimes when we get together and we're talking, it's interesting because one of my friends, I say, because we grew up together, and I'll say, oh, she remembers all my dreams as a little girl. You know, and it's always interesting when she says something and I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember that, you know. So which friendship is just a wonderful thing. But, yeah, journals are great. Journals are very, very, very good. So now because now talking about writing a book now, you are an interior designer, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Semi-retired.
So did you find when you started writing that it was kind of like a different yet a same creative type space for you?
Good question. I think so because out of my anxiety, my interior design talent surfaced.
Mm-hmm.
And
prior to that,
I was working and I was in the admin for, you know, corporations and doing temporary work. And if you would have told me then I was going to be an author and an interior designer, I would have said, you are absolutely crazy. What hat did you pull that out of? Because that's not me. So moving through, yeah, at the same time I found my gift to write, I also found my gift to design. And I tell you, it's from my heart. I just absolutely love it because I am not formally schooled in either of them. I'm not formally schooled in writing poetry. I didn't have it all in literature in school. And I'm not formally schooled in design, but I just listen. I listen to my heart, if that makes sense. I just go with how I feel. And it's amazing how, you know, how creative I've been over the past 18 years with, actually more now. Gosh, what is it? Probably over 20 years I've been in the design industry. And I still like to, my partner has a business here and she just recently retired because they're traveling and it was kind of bittersweet because I said, you know, I still want to dabble in it a little bit. So I helped my neighbors and I finished a project last week working on about 10 planters for outdoors because I also do floral arrangements and succulents.
Okay.
Succulents are big here, right?
Yes. They are. And,
so,
you know, I saw some really interesting ones lately, so it's interesting.
Well, there's beautiful ones here. You know, it's the desert, and
yeah.
You can get so many nice, colorful ones now that they have.
Oh, yeah, you can. The more I go out, the more I see. And for those of you that haven't been to Arizona, oh, my God, you got to come around when the first part of spring and go riding out to some of the close, you know, deserts. Like, I'm trying to think of one, but just to see the wildflowers is amazing. I don't think, you know, you can have your tulips overseas or whatever, but the wildflowers that you see in Arizona can be so amazing.
No, I agree. And, well, right now we're in bloom. We actually bloomed late this year because it was so hot last summer that I think it stalled things a bit. But I know what always amazes me here, and I'm sure it's with you too, is the cacti, the beautiful flowers that bloom on them. You would never
know.
And all of a sudden,
Oh, my God, yeah. I hike a lot, so I take a lot of pictures. And when I see these different cactus and the flowers and whatnot, it's just really amazing. It just really is.
Right. Well, so, we're home. We're the only home to floral cactus.
Oh, you have one. You say that again.
Oh, I was just saying we're the only home to the saguaro cactuses, and those are
unique.
You know, Sonoran Desert.
It really is
beautiful.
One of my favorite jokes is there's a house around the corner from me, and the whole front yard is full of different types of cacti. And they have a huge swirl in front of it too, and it's just different. But it's no rhyme or reason. It's just the whole yard is full of cacti. And so it's so funny when I was walking by there one day. I said, okay, so this is a home that you don't come home drunk late at night. might not do well for you, you know. So that's my joke for people that have a lot of cacti in their front yard. And the rock gardens and all that. But yeah, there's some beautiful places if you ever come to Arizona. And I'm always amazed when I go for a ride and just see the floral and the fauna here. It's just amazing. Just amazing. So
I agree.
Let's talk about your poem, Friendship. I read Friendship, and I read the reason why you wrote Friendship, and I was saying because part of when I was teaching one of my daughters about friendship, because she's very much a social person, and I was saying that, you know, you have your friends that you grow up, you have your friends that are, you know, you see them every once in a while, I said, but then you have that friend that no matter where you go and where you move, and it's just like every time you talk to them, it's just like they haven't gone at all. I really love the poem, but I also just love what you wrote there. So how did you resolve those feelings of your friend leaving besides writing the poem?
Well, I wrote the poem, as I say in my poem, Inspiration, because I was looking at cards because I'm a big Hallmark fan. I love getting lost in cards, all the little poetry books and Hallmark and stuff. That's been part of my inspiration, I think, for my life too. And I don't talk to her that much anymore, but we still stay connected, if that makes sense. Not a whole lot, but I just really reach down to my heart and put my true thoughts down. And it just evolved into a poem. I know. I really like that poem, too. I have that on my website. I do that as a poetry overlay, which we can get into that later. But that is one of my faves. And
good.
I'm glad you're sharing. You said your daughter?
You know, friendship is hard for her, for this particular daughter. She's so social. And friendship is hard for her because she's, you know, through her life, she's like, well, you know, I want to have the same amount of friends I had in high school. And I said, honey, it's really not like that. You know, it changes as you grow. Friendship becomes something more, something different. And I said, if you're lucky, I said, if you're lucky, you'll have more than five good friends, you know, but, you know, that's, you know, kind of how it goes. And, you know, but the important thing is, and it's kind of like how we in our family, we have our own texting, our group texting thing. And I said, it's kind of like because people grow and part of growing means leaving and part of growing means getting married and maybe going off with your husband and you're not seeing family and whatnot. And I just said to her, I said, so it's part of growing and you'll have to, you know, you got to kind of learn how to resolve each growth spurt. You know, as you're going along, and how are you going to resolve that? And, you know, maybe part of the resolve is that you visit, you know, every other year or something, you know. So I shared that, and it was just really, it's really good. I'm loving this, everything I share with my daughters. I share a lot about the radio program and different authors and stuff. I think your book is like, it's more than a book. It actually can become a bedside or desk side book for affirmation or just, you know, how I'm feeling. How do you start your day out? You know, how do you want your attitude to be today? Let's look in here and let's look at a couple of things that Debbie wrote. And really, it's really like that. I actually like that. it's very, for her, you know, it was great because we have a long conversation, but then she says to me, you know, Mom, she goes, I really love it when you share these little things with me. So that was my Mother's Day gift. I was like, okay.
That's awesome. They're beautiful. That's so powerful to have that her life, working with her in those special moments. Did you read my girl poem, A Mother's Love?
I didn't read that one yet, but there's a couple of them that I did read in here, and I said that one of the things is, I don't want to take everything away from everyone who's listening, because it really is a good book. It's not, that I think everyone should, and especially women, because we're going through so many different changes and transformations as we grow, from whatever as we grow. Another one I want you to talk about is Treasures of Your Heart. That was a great one. Treasures of your heart, because I think sometimes we forget about the treasures of our heart. So tell me about treasures of your heart.
Well, we do forget about the treasures of our heart, and you said it well. It's because as moms, we dabble in so many different areas, and I think the most important thing as being a mom is we can't lose ourselves, but we do because we get so busy, and even with this COVID here now just adds another whole layer onto these moms with the kids home and juggling work and their studies and everything. So I think it would be a good poem just to reflect on and kind of a good affirmation to get you through your day, especially if you're having a bad day. That picture, in the in my book, I have the poem, and then I have the inspiration on the opposite side, and then I have a small little picture. And that that picture with the title is so meaningful for me. When I found all this artwork, I picked that one out right away because it reminds me of one of my favorite books is To Kill a Mockingbird. And I think To Kill a Mockingbird is a favorite of mine, it's a great American literature book. But because Scout, one of the characters in it, reminded me of myself when I was young. And this, the Treasures of Your Heart, kind of that place, the tree and the swinging tire, very, very serene and trying to find yourself and just step away from all the craziness in life and move through just places within yourself. Back to the table book, I'm so happy you said that because I wrote this book with the intention of it being a table book and a book that you can refer back to whenever you feel. Right, you need something.
Right,
and I actually have a book 5 years that my friend, was the friend who I wrote Friendship for. She gave it to me. It's by June Kottner. And it's a book of poetry, prayers, traditions. And I still pick up that book. It's amazing. All the time, especially during the holidays when I want a prayer, to say grace at the table with the family.
Uh-huh.
I'll go straight to that book. So I'm hoping that that's what this book is. Is just what you said. Said it very eloquently. That it's just not something you read from front to back. It's something you can read from front to back because it tells my story. It goes through everything, and then it highlights a lot of the poems tell my story as well. And or you can just like you said, pick it up one day. I have a friend. on the other street, and when I released the book, she called me 3 times in 1 week. She's Debbie. I loved it. I just pick it up and I just read one poem and it just starts my day. So I went, thank you, Claudia. That's very encouraging. That was my purpose. So it was a marathon getting this book out there. As you're an author yourself.
Oh,
so
yes.
It's put together and it looks so it looks so easy and smooth, but getting there is
it really does. Yeah, you're right about that because I look at authors' books, I look at their covers, and I look at the books and the designs, and then I look at their website, and I know this. It takes an incredible amount of time and effort, and I don't think a lot of people or beginners that are becoming writers understand that it has a life of its own. It really does. You know, it becomes, it's like it's really like your baby. It's like, what do I want it to learn? And, you know, and all the little things that you, you know, have just for that baby. So it really is like that. So, you know, when I picked it up and I touched it, I really loved it. I loved reading the poetry in between of different people. That was great because some of those I really liked. And the cover was the cover was awesome. And I'll tell you my thoughts on the cover later. But anyway, who is your biggest supporter? Because writing
my biggest supporter
and
I would say in my family, my kids and my husband, they've always been so encouraging. You know, my
right.
It's always like, Mom, when are you going to put your writings out there? You keep talking about it and you just don't do anything. But it was scary,
right.
You know. Anything that's new is scary. And so it took me a time, obviously. As you can see, I waited until for retirement, put the poems in a book and get it out there. But, you know, I think I also am a firm believer that everything comes in time. I don't know how this book would have worked 10 years ago. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Can you follow me there?
Yes.
There's a lot of development books out there now, a lot of self-healing, a lot of healing we need to have done. And I think this book just kind of fits in that category now. I think it was meant to come out at this time in my life. And like I said earlier, my hopes is that it can help people find a deeper place within themselves. I do truly believe we're all born with gifts. And I found my gift for writing and design. You know, whenever sure you have somebody who paints, these people, all of a sudden you put a canvas in front of them and they just deliver this beautiful painting. And you're like, where did that come from? And they say, oh, I don't know, I just paint. It's kind of like that with these talents that I found. And I think we all have them. It just takes time to unearth them. And how you unearth them is spending time with yourself. And as a mom, as you know, as well as I can get sometimes challenging, but now that the kids are away and I'm retired, I have a lot of time to go deeper in and work on myself and get the book out.
And I think, too, like you said, for your, you know, for your book, just that process of, you know, like you said, your book sounds like and feels like it's a book that, you know, it not only starts with your journey, but the journey all the way through. And I think you have had to have walked this journey to be able to put this out. Because I think there's sometimes you're thinking that I want to put this book out now, but there's, depending on what kind of book you're writing, and I've heard this from other writers, you haven't got to the end of the book. Your own life hasn't got to the end of the book. So some writers felt that they weren't ready, you know, because they hadn't got to the end of the book. And I said, oh, I totally get that. But your book is something of a person that has gone through the journey. You've walked the path. And at the end of the journey, this is what you share with others, which is very good.
Yes, I do say, you know, I say at the very end of the book, I'll just give a little passage because I'm like you, I don't want to give the whole book away because we want people to buy it, right?
Right. Absolutely.
I end with a couple things, a quote by Arthur Ashe, and then I also end with, this is one of my favorite sayings. I actually extracted it from a prayer, I think. And I always say it is important to know and realize that the purpose in life is discovering your gift and the meaning in life is giving it away. So that's kind of where I'm at. You're exactly right. This is my from front to back, and I walked it. It was extremely painful going through that anxiety, and I was in tears asking, what did I do? I deserve this pain and sorrow, and how do I get out of it? And, you know, there was a gift in all of it. That's another one of my messages, you know, for those who are afraid to dive into those more fearful emotions, that's where change happens. And as scary as it is, you need to get through it because when you get to the other side, I'm a big advocate of that, you find your joy. I did. And I even remember being into therapy, and I remember when my therapist said, you know, for all this pain you're having, there's that much joy. And I just looked at her and rolled my eyes and said, this lady's crazy. I wasn't in a place where I could see it. But she saw beyond that, and I was in the midst of my anxiety and tears and fear and despair. And I just looked at her like, she's cracked. But she was so true. I mean, I see it now, you know, side of it all. I totally see it. Another thing she had said to me was, you're so lucky to be here right now because so many people die with the magic still in them. And I went, ooh, that's a big statement for me to come walking into feeling like this.
It's a very big statement. And I remember one of my teachers that I listened to, Dr. Miles Monroe, and he said, one of the things he said, the first thing he said in the beginning was, he said, do you know where the richest place in the world is? And I was like, no, where is that? He goes, it's the cemetery. He said, because so many people died with dreams and things they never, accomplished that they didn't think was important, but was very important. So yes. And that comes to mind when I'm working on stuff, that always comes to my mind like, oh my God, I don't want to, you know, and I've talked to quite a few people that have been pushed by that desire to, you know, put something out. But I want to say this, you have a poem called The Gift. And, you know, and what you're saying, and really, you know, I listening to you just now, and I would say the book becomes your gift to others, you know, which is really great. So I know that for our listening audience, sometimes you think that, you know, books like these, that they'll say, oh my God, there's a poem in there I just can't take. But I absolutely found, you know, the few that I skimmed through, I felt that even when it came to tears and pain, that there was nothing that made you feel down. Everything made you feel a little bit more awe-inspiring because, you know, I found a message just in part of that. So I hope others will read it and look at it the same way. Maybe the message you read today doesn't fit today, but maybe it fits next week.
Right. And that is
the way it's written. So the other thing I want to talk to you about now, let's talk about the writing process. Let's talk about, how did you learn your writing process?
Well, actually, it is my own because I didn't really read a lot of poetry. I follow some poets now. I found poetry, you know, in school, 17th and 18th century poetry, you know, Poe and Yeats and Frost and all that. A lot of that was hard for me to understand because you have to know a little bit about the author to understand it because they write, they go by the book, you know, they follow all the beautiful rules and everything. And nothing about that. Nothing. I just sit down and posing, right? I just start writing. And I know this sounds flippant a little bit, but I listen to my heart. I just really go to that place. I also believe writing really tapped into my spirituality in when I was going through it because that's where I was forced to because I had no other alternative. That was the only place to go to heal. And that's my very last poem in the book. That's why that's called my walk. And I just lost my train of thought because I got excited about my walk. I like that poem a lot, too.
Yeah.
Where were we going there? I just lost my train of thought. Where were we going?
Well, we're talking about your process, how you came about your writing process. Because knowing, and I know how you feel about poetry. Poetry is really, I've done some poetry, but I think poetry is probably one of the hardest things to learn to do. And I love that you said it comes from your heart. And I understand that, you know, even the spiritual part, the poetry, you know, I've done, you know, I felt that sometimes it's the spirituality, your spirituality talks to you. So learning that this is your process and your only process, which makes it good. But, you know, even in that process, and I'll say because I'm reading your poetry and I'm like, oh, my gosh, she has such great flow. So how do you get that great flow?
Okay, you're going to laugh. I'll backtrack a little bit, though. What I wanted to say, and thank you, kind of sparked that in me where I lost my train of thought earlier. When I write, sometimes I feel a vehicle that I mean spiritually, okay? And I've heard other authors or poets say that, too, when I've listened to some of the podcasts and stuff. And because I don't know where it's all coming from. I just keep writing and it flows. And sometimes when I wrote my Walk with God, or, you know, at the very end, when I wrote that one, it just poured out of me. The whole thing, I said, wow, where did that come from? So I tweak it, you know, it's like a process. You put the main thing, thoughts down. But you can't, like you said, and you reiterated, it comes from the heart. If you go to the intellect, and I talk about this in the beginning of my book, it's a step away from the intellect, poetry is. It's just intellect, you just start thinking too much, right?
Right.
Being a poet, you can probably relate to that. So it's hard for me to express where I'm from. I had a girlfriend in last year from, well, this was before COVID. We were out shopping, and she just kept asking me, where do you get your inspiration? How do you do it? How do you write? And she was so cute. She just kept asking me, and I go, I can't really, you know, tell you. I just sit down, process happens. And I think that's with, like, people who write novels, too. I summaries on them that they don't know how it's going to start and end. Sometimes they'll sit down and put the pen to the paper, and they start in the middle of something, which to me would be difficult. So you are correct. I think writing novels and writing poetry they're definitely two different writing processes.
Yes.
So I know this may sound a little silly, but I'm an avid reader. I love to read. I read all kinds of genres. And when I was little, Dr. Seuss, all the rhyme, right? You know Dr. Seuss, Cat in the Hat.
right.
I used to live in those books, and they were all in rhyme. And I really believe where I carried it from is I just started, because that's kind of Dr. Seuss is poetic, you know, with all his stories.
Yes. It is. To be able to write like that, it is.
Oh, yeah. He's amazing.
Well, it's funny. I had to say so I come from a writing family, okay? Either they're writers, teachers, you know, we have some police officers, but mostly writers. Even the police officers are poets and stuff. So coming up, raised up, you know, every time family got together, we had to learn how to recite, you know, stuff like that. But my mom was so good at, you know, people would come and say, can you write something for us for so-and-so's going away party? And she would write these little, and I guess they're kind of like limericks, you know, because they would be funny and they would rhyme. And I was like, God, how did she do that? I could never do that. And, but I came to, you know, I came to my writing very late. Even my kids were writers. So I'll tell you, so I read something one day from my six-year-old, and I couldn't believe she cussed. And I'm like, oh, my God, my six-year-old cussed. Where did she get that from? So I was so shocked that I found that she cussed in her writing, you know. And so my older daughter goes, well, Mom, you can't say anything because that's her writing, you know. And I'm like, oh, God, I can't say anything. And I said to my older daughter, so how come I never see you write anything or cussing or anything? She goes, because I write poetry, Mom.
Yeah, she goes, I write poetry.
They're all different.
I'm glad you didn't read what? No, I was going to say, I'm glad with my book you haven't read Girl, A Mother's Love yet, because that's a bond between a mom and a child when they leave home. And I know you're going to love that one. So that'll be something you can look forward to the read point when you can sit down and have to flip through it again.
I will have to, I'll have to read that one. That might be part of my, you know, so this Mother's Day, this is my Mother's Day rebellion this year. it's kind of like, okay, you guys are giving me the same gifts all through the year, and I love you, but now, you know, this is a new life. This is a transformed life. You know, we want something different. So I call it the Mother's Day rebellion weekend that's coming up. So, what was your biggest challenge, though, in finding your process? Now, I know some people say it was editing. So let me ask you, was editing one of your challenges? Because for poetry, editing's a little bit different.
Yes. Yes, editing, definitely. So what happened was when I sent the book off, you know, to the publishing company to get published, they sent the book back, and there was like 5 punctuation changes in it at most. And I thought to myself, come on, this book isn't perfect. It needs editing. I knew it needed editing. And then actually my husband's a writer too. So he actually edited it and took some stuff out, some of the verbiage out, not much. And then I said, this is my one shot at this and it's going out there into the world. And I had to feel comfortable enough to know that everything was okay. So I found a local editor here in Mesa. And I sent it off to him, and he didn't change anything. So I said, okay, I guess it's ready to go. But I did read. He did not touch the poetry because they can't touch poetry. And I did find it difficult editing the poetry. Where do I put commas? I've had versions of this with commas at the end of every stanza. And I said, what is right? And then that drove me crazy. Finally, I said, okay. I'm just going to go with my gut and say, I'm just going to take all the periods, punctuation out of every stanza, the end of them. I'm just going to do this because this is how it's going to read because nobody else will. I couldn't get a professional editor to edit it. So it's spoken from the heart, and it's how I want the reader to perceive it, where I place my punctuation points. You know, do I want him to breathe after the first 4 words, put a comma, then release the next 4 words. So that was my biggest challenge with the writing process.
Oh, well, I like what you just said, too, for poetry, especially you said, do you want them to breathe after this part here? I like the way you said that, because that is very important to how you want them to read it. So that's a great way to look at it.
Yeah. Yeah, I had to have a lot of conversation with myself with that. Mm-hmm. That was tough. And then my husband, I'll give him credit. We spent a lot of time at the grocery stores and bashes at the Starbucks just drinking iced tea and going through and changing things. And it was funny because one poem, he changed a whole line of the stanza and I got mad at him. I go, you can't do that. You're taking away my meaning. And he goes, no, but this sounds better. I go, no.
Right.
So I let it his way. And then the next day I went back to it and I read it and I went, ooh, that does sound better. So I gave him some kudos for that. But it's a whole writing project. The writing process is tough, but it's layers, as you know. It's layer upon layer. You don't just sit and write something and then all of a sudden it gets out there. You know, it's constantly being edited. In fact, years ago, when the kids were younger and I wanted to get some of it out, I have added more since then. I sent it to a professional editor and oh my gosh, she made so many changes to it. She scared me. I just folded the folder and put it up in the closet. I go, no, I'm not doing this. She wants me to change everything around, and that's not me. I just couldn't go there. I was afraid to take away all my meaning. If that makes any sense. Yeah. The meaning of all my work. And so I waited. I think it's like 15 years later now, and I resurfaced it and put it in a book, and here it is. And I'm glad to hear people are enjoying it. I'm getting really good feedback from it. So
wow,
I'm very pleased.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's a little bit of a trap sometimes that you have to be careful of who edits your work, because some people will get a different meaning and they'll edit it or they'll add a certain word in it and change the whole meaning of what you were trying to convey. And so I know a lot of writers have gone through editors to make sure that the meaning, you know, there's some great editors, and then there's some editors that, you know, I'm not going to say they're not great, but I think that you have to really have a huge wealth of experience, I think, in different genres and you know, different writers in order to be that editor that understands not to change the work by a word, you know. And so so that's great. So now marketing a book can be pretty frustrating. So how are you able to maneuver through marketing yourself in books?
Well, we did a little bit of marketing on online, and I'm not a huge – I'm not on Instagram. I do have a Facebook page. I'm not big on the social platforms, which I think I need to, but my husband did some marketing on Amazon stuff. And then we just recently hired Desiree, the publishing company in LA. So she's helping us market it, which
I'm
very
good,
pleased.
Great. I love it. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, I love what they do.
Yeah, they're very good. And I've only been with them a month, but it's been keeping me hopping and busy, and it's my third interview, so this is how it's getting out there. That's how the marketing's going. We just found it very frustrating.
Yeah. It can be very frustrating. I know a lot of even authors that I know that I've interviewed, I know some authors that actually got picked up by bigger publishing houses, and even when talking to them, they said, hey, you know, well, I'm not a million-dollar bookseller, but even so, I still have to do, you know, 35% to 40% of my own marketing, which is, you know, mm-hmm. which was very interesting because, and really, even as being in the business of marketing is huge. It really is huge. Oh. It can be very frustrating, and I know that, you know, both my daughters do social media. And so when we're sitting down talking about, you know, plans for where we're going to go, and they're like, you know, Mom, you got to do this. I'm like, you know what? Like, sometimes I'm like looking at it, like, can I get off of social media? And they're like, no.
Well, it's not our generation. You know, those are raised in that, and it's so easy for them. And we're and I have my website, too. I'm going to start getting a blog going on there shortly so people can follow me there. And word of mouth is big, right? Word of mouth is really big. So, you know, I was in the book fest a few weeks back, you know, last month, as you were. So that's a good channel for getting excited for it, too.
It really
I'm also starting to, so I'm hoping I realize, you know, some sales from all that, but you know, you hit a good point because when I dove into this project, not knowing the first thing about how to get a book out there and get it, you know, published and move it along, and I didn't really think of the marketing end of it. I was so wrapped up in just the actual product itself, the book. So then when the book came out, the publishing company, they do have different packages that you can purchase, you know, and they'll market the marketing for you. Because, like, I didn't buy any of those packages from them, but, you know, because they do the press release and everything. So they did a nice job with displaying all that about my book. But I thought, for those aspiring people who want to write books, because I've had a lot of people come up to me, I want to write a book. And I said, okay. I said, but be prepared because you do need to do some research. It's a wonderful, you know, it's wonderful to get it out there because it's been a dream of mine, but like we said earlier, it's going to be some work. And think of the marketing end. Don't just think of the front end. You have to think of the very back end because you put all this time and effort and money into this book. Well, you need to be able to sell it as well. So that's kind of my advice to any writer.
And there you go. For all you up-and-coming writers listening to the program, there's the advice because it is something that, you know, the warm, fuzzy feeling of finishing a book and having your book in your hand and loving it, and you know, until you get to the marketing part.
like you said, marketing's huge. There's a lot of marketing firms out there. You know, Black Chateau is mine. She's wonderful, and there's other ones. And you know, not to shy them away from even trying to write their book. I just wanted to plant that little seed in them because I kind of wish I would have known that, but sometimes I have a tendency to just dive into things so quickly, and it can be better because if I think about it too much, I just won't do it, if that makes sense.
Well,
I
also think that it's okay how you want to get your book out. And the reason I say that because I've talked to so many authors who have done so many different things, and I think the main thing that I love is the point is that they got it out. Okay. It's so hard for the ones that write for a long time and for whatever reason, they never get it out there. But for the ones that actually, you know, it's like jumping off that leap of faith where you jump in and you don't know what's on the other side. You know, it's so rewarding to be able to go through the whole process. Now the process, some people go out and get, you know, companies. And I think that if that's your comfort zone, that's fine. If you have the time to do it yourself, that's fine too. I'm the kind of person where I'm kind of like, you know, I know where my best quality is, so I don't want to try to do something that's not my, you know, part of my best effort. You know, I'd rather have an agent because I don't have time to go and, you know, make appointments for book signing and stuff. I'd rather have a company to market my book because I'm such a busy person. So I think that mm-hmm. works for some. Now, I do know a couple that started writing when they retired, and, you know, they just decided to take their money and self-publish their first book. And, I mean, my God, it's wonderful, you know. Mm-hmm. But then you have to take in consideration, and this is one of the reasons I like our program, because one of the things we try to do is also talk about that person's background, their home life, what the things they like to do, what their writing process is, because we find out that no one does it any better or any different from anybody else. You know what I'm saying is that everyone has a different process. Everybody has a different support, you know, system. Everybody goes through a different challenge. But the point is that they did it and that they have such a wealth of advice to give other people.
Mm-hmm. That's very true.
Yeah.
That's very true. And, you know, years ago, it's so much easier now for books to come out there because of self-publishing. Remember, years back, you had to get an agent. Had to be accepted, or else
that's
you hear
true.
Stories like, you know, what's J.K. Rowling? I think how many times did her manuscript get turned? 18,
right?
Maybe? I don't know.
Yeah.
She has an interesting story. I said, oh my gosh, rejection, rejection, rejection. I don't know. You just have to keep going.
And you do have to keep going. I think it was James Michener. Yeah, when James Michener wrote his first book, he actually worked in a publishing office, and they told him no. They told him they didn't like the manuscript. He actually quit his job and went across the street, and the publisher across the street published the book. And that's how he got started, which is, you know, which everybody has a story, and that's, you know, and that's the great thing. I remember when they put the book out, Chicken Soup for the Soul for Authors, and that was way before I started doing what I'm doing now, and I was like, oh, my goodness, and reading about all the different things, you know, that authors went through. One author took her manuscript, she packed it up in the attic and never looked at it, and she never looked at a letter that she got for that because she had got so many rejection letters. And then 50 years later, you know, she's going through the stuff and she finds it, and there's a check in there, you know, and the company she wanted to be with was going to publish. So it was so many lessons in there. And one of the things that my creative writing teacher told me when I finished my first book, he said, Celeste, he said, send it out to at least 50 different places at the same time. He says, don't do one at a time. So it was funny when I got stuff back, it was actually hilarious. It was a learning experience too, because I learned that you don't send your manuscript to everybody because everybody doesn't publish the same thing. And then I found that some people read it, you know, and it was, you know, it made me feel good. I don't know if they read a chapter or not, but it made me feel good that they said they read it. so, you know, it's all about, you know, and I always tell people when they say, I'm like, look, your book is meant for certain people to read. So, you have to put it.
There's
out
definitely
there. Don't worry about it.
All books have a certain audience. My audience is more probably women and moms, because there's a lot of poems in there about kids, and there's a lot of poems in there, like you said, Treasures of Your Heart, self-reflection. There's a lot of poems about that. But I had male readers comment on it too. My one girlfriend, her husband actually personally texted me and said he loved the book. And I said, oh, that's the masculine side. Okay, I'll take. So it's a book for all, but it does target a certain audience.
It is a book for all if you want to share it. It really is a book for all. So one of the things is like, so what do you consider your success at this time? Because everybody has a different ideal of what their success is as a writer. What would you say is your success right now?
Well, it's in its infancy. You know, the book was just put out late last year. And it's moving, it's selling, it's doing really well. I also, in conjunction with the book, have developed a website, which that's in its infancy as well, where I talked about earlier, there's four of those poems you can purchase as a poem overlay. So I'm in the beginning, and I'm hopeful, though. I'm very hopeful. It's exciting. It's exciting doing these interviews so people can know about my book, because it's like anything.
Right.
You know, if you have to do anything, or people don't know you're there. And I like the book, and the more positive feedback, and thank you for yours, I get, the more confident I get with it, which, you know, pushes me to keep plugging away and moving forward with it. But I have that, you know, I'm just starting a business with the website, with selling these poetry overlays, and I'm hoping to expand on that. But I'm taking baby steps. I just don't want to take on too much, because before I did the book, I didn't know if I wanted to do the poetry overlays and not the book. And I went round and round with that for years. Do I want to, and when I say poetry overlays, like, do I want to do just words on boards, that is so big right now, words on boards, and it sells really big. Do I want to do that or a book?
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
I did do the book, and all of a sudden devolved. It's just kind of, my husband and I got an idea. Let's just do the website on this. And then we'll put these on. So we'll do it in conjunction with each other. So I have both of them going, so it's been exciting. It's kind of taken off at the same time.
So what is your next project you think is going to be for you when it comes to writing? What's your next book going to be?
Well, you know, I wrote a song a couple months ago. I need to dig that out and reread it to see if I like it or not, you know, how writing is. I was inspired. I listened to the Beatles documentary. I do a lot of audio listening. And, boy,
yes.
When I finished that book, I was so inspired by them and so motivated.
Uh-huh.
So I sat down and put the pen to the paper and I started writing. So I think I need to go back to that documentary to get me some more inspiration. I do have other, back to your question, I do have other things I have written that I could do a second edition with. But like I said earlier, with the website and the book, I'm focusing on that right now. That's my main focus. But I'm not to say down the road I could do a second edition with it, but not in the picture right now. I'm living in the moment of what I have.
Great.
I don't want to bite off too much too soon, because like you said, you an author, it's a lot of time and effort going back into another book. So
it really is a lot of time and effort. I mean, I just it was funny, someone asked me, because I have this joke that I say when my office used to be terrible, my personal office used to be terrible. And I said to myself, I said, okay, look, you're never going to be perfect. So I made up a couple of rules when I'm cleaning. I said, if you haven't seen it in 6 months, throw it away. Okay. And then I said, separate client stuff from just your regular work stuff. And then what I did one day, I said, okay, so papers will be spread out all over the living room. And so my friends will say, they'll say, so how are you doing on the organization? I said, well, I'm in that hole again. Been on the floor for about a week. I'm trying to dig myself out the hole, you know. But I was so proud of myself, because I had finally separated my writing from my office. I was talking to an author one time, and I said, what's the best writing time for you? And he says, well, you know, he says, I have two computers, and when I leave work, I shut my work computer off, and then I have all my writing on my other computer. I thought that was so good, because it was, you know, when you stop what your regular stuff is and go into your writing world, it's so different.
Give you,
you know?
Oh.
Yeah.
Night and day.
it really is. So I was proud of myself for getting things separated and getting my office. I was like, I'm so proud of you, Celeste.
There you go.
The pandemic has been kind of good, cool in some instances, you know.
But being organized is important. I know when I was working with when you said you had everything laid out on the floor, I said, oh my goodness, can I relate? Because finding the artwork book was very challenging because I originally wanted a publishing company. And they featured more, you know, they do books where there's not so much artwork and they do a lot of children's books and stuff. So they resource a lot of their artwork from their libraries and stuff. So I said, why don't you go online and you can purchase artwork, you know, you can purchase the license to artwork. Well, I went on Shutterstock.com, Celeste, and there were billions of pieces of artwork in there. It was so overwhelming. I shut the computer down and I didn't go back. I was so stressed out. I went, oh my gosh, how am I possibly going to pick 18 pictures out of here, out of a billion or whatever's out there?
Mm-hmm.
So it went through the process of elimination, but where I wanted to go with that was I actually ended up, in the very end, I ended up with 150 pieces of art out of all those millions, and I cut them all out, scattered them on a table like you did with all your stuff on the floor, and that's how I had to get organized. It's how you have to do it, because otherwise it can get so overwhelming that then you don't get
anything
done.
Right, it can be. Yes, you're right.
Yeah.
It can be overwhelming, and that is the you know, my great administrative assistant that I have now, and she always reminds me of that because she'll say sometimes, and it's funny because my kids, so they'll say, oh, Mom, you know, what about this? And I'm like, I'm in the middle of work, and I'm kind of like, oh, my God, I feel like the overwhelming cloud is getting ready to fall on me. I've actually, you know, it's really cool now because, like I said, you know, it's funny. I was such an A-plus personality, but now it's like, you know what? You really don't have to do all that today. You only got one thing to do that's due. So do you have any local events planned now that we're coming out of the pandemic as far as events or anything, book signings or your book is available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And I kind of still like Barnes & Noble because you still can go in the bookstore. I kind of like that.
I agree with you totally. I love going into Barnes & Nobles. I think I say it on my website. It's a sea of color. I go in there and I can spend all day in there. When the kids are little, by the children's book. But to answer your question, I have reached out to bookstores latter part of last year. They're just not doing anything. Everything's virtual. I did the book fest. I don't have anything going, but I am going to be in contact with some of the local stations. So stay tuned. That'll be down the road. I'm going to work with my publishing publicist with that.
Okay.
So, but for now, you can get it on, like you said, Amazon and Barnes & Noble. You can order it online. You can order it through my website, but that just directs you to the book, you know, book companies that sell it. And Mother's Day is tomorrow. It's a great mom's gift. I know you only have a day, but you could be a late one. You could say, Mom, you got another big gift coming.
Oh, yes, most definitely. Most definitely. This is great. And this is, you know, like I said, it's a great gift for my, you know, younger daughter who's a mom. And she's in the middle of adolescence with one daughter, and then the other daughter is five. It's kind of hilarious that she has. They used to always laugh at me about how far apart my kids were, and now I have a daughter whose kids are like the same far apart as with her and her older sister.
Wow, isn't that ironic?
Yeah,
so, right.
Yeah, it
ironic.
Really
well,
is. So.
She's a young mom. So. She'll find children there. There's poems I can think of right now that will speak to her with even the younger one and the one in adolescence. So
that's good. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure. So I'm going to get a chance to this would be her gift to her, actually, and I'll get a chance to all of us will be together at the end of the month, which is going to be great because it's mostly girls in my family. I have one son. It was so funny that we mostly had girls in our family, and every time we went to visit family, because my son was just learning everyone, and he would say, more girls. We laughed at him. He's like, more girls. So thank God when he had his first child, it was a boy. So.
Yeah, oh, there you go. I bet that was challenging for him.
It was very challenging, but you know what I love, he's such a great uncle, and you know, and him and his younger sister, since they're closer in age, are so close, You know, their older sister is more like a like having a real older sister. You know, but it's really really great. And I get a chance to my Mother's Day gift to my my audience. I put a little thing out yesterday, and I usually put one out for every holiday. And I said, man, I love Mother's Day. I said, mothers, we don't get a manual for what we do. You know, it's all trial and error, no matter. Yeah, I said, look, I'm like, your grandmother didn't, you know, she did what she could do, and your mom did what she could do, and now you're doing what you can do.
True. That is so true. You couldn't have said it.
No.
I bet your son's very so being surrounded by all them women all, you know, growing up.
Oh, you know, and it was really, you know, for me to be a single mom, it was great because he, you know, grew up in church, and a lot of the men at church took charge for being the men in his life.
That was amazing.
Because he really is, you know, he's very balanced, that's what I really love. He's very balanced. So I love, he's living his life. It's really great. So, sons are good.
Good.
When he turned 11, he had gone through both his sister's adolescence. And he said to me, Mom, I'm not going to do that when I turn 13. I'm not going to go through all that. And I'm like, please don't lie to me. So the last thing I want to say on here, though, Debbie, is your book cover. And I want to tell you what it reminded me of. It was such a peaceful, I mean, the colors and just the tree and the land and the water. It reminded me of something that my aunt used to say that she said, and I'll say this because we're both women. She said, women need to have something that soothes the heart, the soul, and the body. And so when I saw that, it kind of made me think about that again, the tree, the land, and the water. And that was great. That was great. So just a perfect cover for your book, Tears of Change. I've been talking to Debbie A. Is it Montague, Debbie?
Montasia.
Okay. Debbie A. Montasia. Okay. Right. And this book is Tears. Okay. I kind of thought it was almost the Gia.
Yeah.
But I wasn't sure. Yeah. Okay. So it's Debbie A. Montagia.
Montasia.
Okay. Great. Okay. Yeah. The book is Tears of Change, Poems, Reflections, and Quotes for a Meaningful Life. This is a great Mother's Day gift. You have time to get this gift for mothers. It's really good. It's available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And I'm going to share this with a mother that I know, two mothers, my daughter and another mother I know who's my best friend. It's a great book if you want to have it by your desk or by the bed, to have something to wake you up with great affirmations, or when you're just sitting at your desk, like I do sometime, when I wake up and I'm in a daze, like, oh, what am I doing at work today? And I just want to read something different to kind of help, you know, get your day started. It's good. It's a good book for that too. So she has great poems and she has great little details of why she wrote it, but at the same time, I'm sure many of you can relate to this book. So, Debbie, thank you for being on our program today. And is there anything that you want readers to know at the end of our program here?
Well, I want to give them my website. They can go look at my website and find out a little bit more about me and find out a little bit more about my poetry overlays, because they're very customized. They send me a photo and then I overlay the poetry overlays. So it's customized to their kids or their friend or however. They can find out all about that at tearsofchangepoetry.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in close, I would say, I don't know, last final words, I would say, you know, come home to yourself and listen to your heart. We all have gifts to share. If you're trying to figure about, it's there, you just have to work and unbury it, and maybe that's journaling or just talking to a friend or writing, I'm not sure, but I'm sure that all of us have something to give to one another. And like you said earlier, this is my book, this is what I give to everyone. And I'm so happy to hear that it's resonating with people, and I'm happy to hear you like it too.
Yeah, and actually, you know, I'm going to be donating one of the books that they send me to I volunteer at a nonprofit called Hope's Crossing here in Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh, okay.
And it's very appropriate because that program is for at-risk women who are transforming their lives. And they have a 92% success rate of women who come through, take the classes. I donate a lot of books to them. And they are thriving.
Good.
A lot of them are, go through that transformation. They become thriving, adults. They thrive in their community, and they thrive in their workplaces. So this is another great book that I can donate to that organization for those women. So thank you again, Debbie, for being on our program and for this book. It is a gift, Tears of Change.
Okay, thank you. I enjoyed talking to you. Thanks for the invite. I really enjoyed. Very enlightening.
Yes, and definitely, we always say that anyone who's on our program becomes part of the Vertical family, and we'll be watching you. And, when you have anything that you want to share with us, be in contact. You will see Debbie on the radio. We will be sharing this program, but we'll also be putting her in Vertical Life magazine. For all of those who read the magazine, you'll have an opportunity to hear this broadcast, to see who Debbie is, and to be able to see her book.
Okay. Well, I just discovered you through my, the company, and I am definitely going to be a follower of you as well. So you have lots of good information. I watched some of your previous programs online, and they were so motivational and inspirational. So I will definitely be a fan. You will probably hear from me again.
Thank you so much. Well, thank you so much. I hope as we come out this pandemic, and if I get to hear of you being anywhere out and about or any events, I would really love to know so I can go and check you out.
Okay. Well, I will definitely keep you informed. I'll let you know what's going on. And I also, on my Facebook page, the Tears of Change Facebook page, I've been putting things on there of speaking events.
Okay, great. Well, I'll definitely hit that page up so we can stay in connection with each other.
So I have one more question for you, though. Where is your wall of poetry downtown? I go downtown once a week, and I was trying to find it online the other day. And
my
poetry, I thought, well, I'm talking to you. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. Okay. The poetry is on the wall of the Maryville Community Pool House. And every time I write, when I write past there, I'm like, oh, my poetry is on the wall. Thank you.
Yeah, awesome. That's amazing. And being in Phoenix, we're both in Phoenix. I thought when I'm downtown next, I want to go take a look at it. Because obviously I love poetry. So I'm going to look at your, I think it's great. It's on
the
wall.
Thank you for saying that, because that was actually the first poem I wrote, and it helped me because I came to writing poetry. Like I told you, I have a family of writers, but I think I was the last one that ever, I was already an adult when I started writing, and I wrote a poem one day, and I had a friend that said, there's a contest, the city of Phoenix, you should join. And I thought to myself, man, I'm just writing. Nobody's going to pick my poem. And it was funny because I procrastinated the whole time. And the theme was they were building the Maryville Pool Center. They were remodeling it, and they wanted the whole community to take part in it. And that's why they asked some poets to, submit their stuff. So I submitted something that had to do about diversity and being why the community pool was so important to the community. And so when I got the letter from the city of Phoenix and I told my mom, I said, the city of Phoenix wrote me a letter and they accepted my pool. And I was like, oh my God, they accepted my pool. So my poem, and it was really fun because I got to go talk to a class of seventh graders. And it was so fun because it made me remember how seventh graders are writing poetry and it's all about love for them. It was an amazing experience.
Your first poem, that really had to help you move forward with it, right?
Oh, my God. It helped me not only to move forward, it also helped me to not be scared to be in crowds.
Yeah, right.
Okay. It helped me to not be scared when people invited me out to speak to a crowd. It really did a lot for my writing career. It really did. That one point in time really did a lot. And I'll say that my belief is, you know, that God kept putting things in my way to make me get out. And that's what made me get out.
That's good, though. You got to be pushed by someone, right?
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, I say it was God that pushed me too. So I can relate there.
Yeah.
100%.
So definitely I could relate when I was reading your stuff. So definitely I could relate to what you were saying because, that's how it was. And I'll tell you, I'm that person that just procrastinates about some things. And I said, I don't want to go downtown to turn this in. I can't find a parking space. I'm just going blah, 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 blah. And what happens? I find a parking space right across the street.
It was meant to be. It's a good thing you didn't procrastinate.
It was meant to be. And thank you for saying that.
Yeah,
for sure. Thank you so much. So definitely thank you for being on our program, Debbie. This has been a great conversation. I'm really excited about your book. I'm excited about sharing it. And I look forward to talking to you again.
You'll hear from me. I'm going to keep you posted of what's going on because I know there's going to be some other things coming up. So I'll definitely either shoot you an email or get on your website or we'll connect.
Okay. Okay, most definitely. Thank you so much for being a part of our program.
Hey, well, thank you. I'm honored. All right, bye-bye. Have a happy night.
Thank you. And I'd like to thank my audience for your support and Team Vertical for coordinating our program today. We've had a great conversation here at A Taste of Ink, and we will be sharing this program for you and Debbie's book, Tears of Change. Stay tuned next week when we will be interviewing author Edgar Scott. This has been Living Vertical Radio, and our program has been A Taste of Ink.
Thank you to our faithful listeners. This has been Living Vertical Radio, and you have been listening to our host, C. Steen Duckworth. Stay tuned to our next program. Interested in getting your business in front of a worldwide audience? Contact info@verticalmediagroup.com. That's info@verticalwithak.mediagroup.com for details. And now, a word from our sponsors.
Books that make you laugh, books that make you scream, books that make you hope, and books that make you dream. What's on your bookshelf? Discover the books that make you who you are on booksthatmakeyou.com. Read book reviews. Meet the authors who pour their souls into the books you love. And enter to win bookish prizes. If you're a bibliophile, then Books That Make You is your new best friend. Visit booksthatmakeyou.com or find us on Insta and Facebook. Books that make you laugh. Books that make you smile.